So as lover of food, I like to watch these food battle, and also one of the recent series that I'm into, it's called The Chef's Table. And they basically, each episode, they highlight a chef that that seemed to be avant-garde in his or her approach of how he or she defined food. And some of these chefs are really crazy up here in the mine, but some of them are crazy genius. And they invent some of the dishes that look really nice and very wonderful. And they break out of the mold of a typical restaurant that you would see, right? And people, even though these chefs would have restaurants or places that are in the middle of nowhere, but since they appeared on lists that are prestigious, there are rich people that would fly to them or drive out of the way to seek them. And they would, these places would be packed or booked for years ahead of time. And people would find so much prestige or enjoyment just to have a feast there. And of course, we know too, perhaps whenever you come down to Austin, and if you go down to some of these big barbecue restaurants that have been on the Texas monthly list or whatever, like Franklin, people don't mind lining out for 3 or 4 hours in order just to taste the barbecue or the things that are cooked by these famous places. And imagine, we have these chefs or these good cooks who are innovative, who are dedicated to their crafts, and they are still able to attract a lot of people to come. And people are willing to go the extra miles to taste the food. But how many people are willing to come to the banquet of the Lord? How many of us are willing to go out of our way to go to the Eucharistic banquet of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us are willing to stand for hours to make sure that we receive the Eucharist? How many of us are willing to come with an open heart to truly receive Jesus as he is? Jesus is much more than these innovative chefs or cooks or attractive people. Of course, coming to Mass, we cannot take our Instagram picture of the plate of food that we're going to eat, and we're going to be able to tag ourselves and be the envy point of others. But coming to Mass seemed to be something so ordinary, unattractive, non-innovative, something so simple and boring at times. So what is it that draws us to Mass? What is it that draws us to Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is unpretentious. He's boring. He's not innovative. And he's not appealing in the standards of the world. What does it take to come to Mass? What does it take to come to the Eucharistic table without something that appealed us? Perhaps this is what we call boring love. You see, young couple, they have puppy love and all these Hallmark channels and all the chick flicks are all about this puppy love stage. Because why? Because boring or old people love are not interesting. They don't sell movies by taking pictures of people who have been in love for a long time, just sitting there saying nothing or doing nothing that's the picture worthy. But in these boring or old love, we see that love speak louder than words. Love speak louder than what is appealing. Love speaks from the heart, and heart speaks to heart. We come to Jesus not because we find an inspiration, because it's innovative, because it's appealing, because Jesus Christ is not a circuit act. He's not entertainment. Jesus is this old love, day in and day out, present to us. And it takes this old-souled love for us to simply be with Jesus without asking him to wow us. It's easy to have puppy love stage, but what happened after the puppy love stage, my brothers and sisters, when you recognize, I see this in college students all the time. Every time when I hear a college student come and tell me, oh, Father, I met the greatest guy or greatest gal, I said, give it a couple weeks, come back and talk to me, you know? And then, of course, there come a time when this guy or this gal that they come to know just broke their heart because no one is perfect. And this is when the puppy love, where all the fascination and all the shallow stuff begin to lose its attraction. And that's when they begin to accept each other for who they are. All the brokenness, all of the blessings, all the imperfections that are there. This old love requires a lot of commitment, a lot of perseverance, a lot of attentiveness just to be present without having to wow each other. Real love does not have to wow each other. Real love does not have to be appealing. Real love is able to recognize the presence of the other person and said, I'm okay with that. And this is the love that we have for Jesus Christ. This is the love that Jesus has for us. Every time we go to Mass, we're not only receiving a plate of food that is Instagram worthy or anything that appeals to us or make us feel good. We receive Jesus' own body and blood when we hear him say, this is my body, this is my blood given up for you. And unlike human food, this food that Jesus gives to us is his own self. And it not only nourishes our body, it also nourishes our soul. It does not only give us strength for the present journey, but for the journey to come toward the heavenly homeland. Jesus gives us the best thing that he could ever give to us, his own self. At each and every Mass in the sacrament of the Eucharist, when we hear him say, this is my body, this is my blood. And that's why when we come to the Eucharist, we are to give the best of ourselves to Jesus. Of course, I'm not asking you to be fancy, to wear Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, and all these Louis Vuitton stuff to show off to others. But we should wear our dignity, our pride, our soul without mortal sins, our soul that is genuine hearted, so to receive the Lord Jesus Christ deep within our heart. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, a lot of people ask me, Father, why do you have to wear your cassocks or your dress, they said. You know, because I was taught by my grandmother. She, for me, is a great example of what you have heard in the words of St. Paul in the second reading today. She knew what it meant to live in abundance, but live without too. After 1975, the fall of Vietnam, my grandfather and grandmother lost everything. They had very little. And my grandmother would only have two traditional Vietnamese long dress. A red velvet one. She only wore that on Christmas, Easter, at weddings or at funeral, like fancy events. And she had one that is tan in color. And as a matter of fact, one of the picture that I have of her holding me as a baby was in that tan, long traditional dress. She wore her best, even though it was simple for the Lord. And she would always come presenting what she had, not richness in the humanistic term, but richness from her heart, giving her best to the Lord. And this is what we're called to do, that in good times and in bad, in times that are full of abundance and blessing and full of challenges and obstacles, we still come to the Lord to give our very best to Him. And this leads us toward the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah. It comes from the first part of the prophet Isaiah, where the people of Israel was about to be exiled, taken away from their own land and pushed away from their own land to Babylon. They're about to lose everything. Yet the prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord will restore what you have, and on this mountain He will wipe away all your tears and will fill your heart desires." So even in our trials, even when we feel like we're losing everything, it seems like when 2020 or whatever going on in our life right now, it's making us feel like we're losing everything. The Lord is promising us that on this mountain, in your soul, I will fill whatever is there. Not in humanistic terms, not in humanistic blessings, but in the blessing of His love for us. And that's why St. Paul was able to say, because of the love of Christ, I'm able to live with or without. Because the love of Christ is the only thing that nourished me, that fulfilled me, that gave me life. So my brothers and sisters, I cannot offer you anything. And if you come to St. Jude Thaddeus Catholic Church, please, we're not going to have a good band. There's not going to be any fog machine that come out. And I'm not going to clip myself in the back and do some magical act for you. You might want to go to First Baptist in Wichita for that. However, I can promise you that if you come and with an old love for Jesus Christ, you're going to receive what comes from Him. And hopefully, when I say the words of institution, you might hear it from Him through my own mouth. This is my body. This is my blood given up for you. And this is the greatest love that no one else can ever give to us. This is the greatest love that had to receive with simplicity of heart, for heart understand true love that gives to us and able to receive it and give back to Jesus with a simple heart.